Lord, thank you for the brave souls that made it through the Arctic blast of 2025. Hallelujah. More to come. Awesome. We've been saying that about the reign of the Spirit, too. There's more to come this year. We just keep our hand to the plow and be faithful. And the Lord is always faithful to his promises. So we don't give up. Amen. We don't lose heart no matter what goes on. And our lives are not to be controlled by external circumstances and situations, but by the internal peace of the Lord. He is the strength of our lives. As the psalmist said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Amen. Well, the Lord is coming to rule, isn't he? The day will come when Jesus will return. And he's coming for those who are looking for him. And those who look for him are those who live for him. And so today is the day the Lord gave us, and we're together. And for those at home, we greet you and welcome you and pray today, the Lord, in Jesus' name, you'll extend your mercy, your grace to each one, Lord, who is sick in body today. And we pray, Lord God, that you will drive out the sickness and the disease. And Lord, make us all well and bring us all back together again real soon. We ask this in your name, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So be it, Lord. According to your word and according to your will, let it be unto us. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. So thank you for coming, you know, and being a part. Hallelujah. I'm glad you came early, right? You wouldn't have got a place to seat today. So that's it. And the Lord is good. Thank God we got up this morning, right? We had something to eat. Praise God. I mean, he's given life and breath to us all. And, you know, I've been reminded this week of the fact that, you know, sometimes we make things more complicated than they need to be. We're all wired a little differently, you know. And some of us are like into details, and sometimes the details can get so overwhelming that we lose the peace that can be in just the simplicity of things, you know, simplicity of life. And I think even when it comes to spiritual matters, you know, the Lord made it simple. And he speaks to us in our language. He speaks to us in a way that we can understand, even as Jesus spoke through parables. Amen. And he used life illustrations to get his point across to people of his day. So the Lord speaks to us today by his Holy Spirit that he gives to us, amen, who are in Christ, amen, who are obedient to him, he gives his spirit to. And so the Lord wants to speak to us and give us direction every day. He wants to give us his counsel. But we have to be willing to listen. And when you come to the Lord, we need to come to him as a child would, to a loving father who would never do anything to harm us, but would only teach us what is good for us because of his care, his love for us. And there needs to be a simple trust in the Lord, in his word. And it doesn't need to be all that complicated. The primary focus of all scripture really is one person, amen, and that is Jesus Christ. He is the center of it all, it's Christ. And throughout the Old Testament and through the New, we see Christ being presented. In the Old Testament, he's presented in types and shadows, you know, but in the New, there's a revelation that was given, you know, to Paul by the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus showed up on the scene and began to speak to people who had only known the law and the prophets in the Old Testament, you know, many of them did not recognize who he was. Because, again, you cannot learn God in a classroom. But God can be received by revelation. Okay? And a person who has a heart that's open to receive the Lord, amen, can have the veil removed from their eyes so that they can see clearly and understand the things of God. And apart from the Lord, we can do nothing. And apart from the Spirit of the Lord, amen, who is the Spirit of Christ in us, we cannot know what truth is. We can have all our different variations and opinions and of what truth is. But truth is really personified in Jesus Christ. If you want to see what truth looks like, study the life of Jesus. Amen. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so the title of the message today is Keep It Simple. Keep It Simple. I've known some friends of mine who have, in their pursuit and their study and constant study, you know, which, by the way, is an important thing, is that we should study to show ourselves approved, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, right? Rightly dividing the word of truth. But we have to be careful, Lord, that we humble ourselves and we allow the Holy Spirit to be in charge of the teaching, amen, of the study. We have to invite him in. Jesus said, He who I will send in my name, right, the Holy Spirit, will lead you into all truth. Amen. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church. Amen. And so today we receive the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Christ, who is the Holy Spirit in us. And he is the anointing that teaches us and leads us into all truth. So apart from the Spirit of truth, we're leaning on our own intellectual understanding. And in the wisdom of men, men cannot know God, because only God can be revealed. We learn him through revelation. The entrance of the word of God brings light, amen, and reveals to us who the person of Jesus is. Okay, otherwise we're just sending and reading text messages, amen, without knowing the heart of the sender. And I know, and you know, that there's been times we've received text messages or we've sent text messages that were misunderstood, because you weren't actually speaking. You couldn't hear the tone, or it was a little more difficult to know the heart of the one who sent the text. We can't always speak maybe on the phone, but sometimes text messages can be misunderstood. And so it is, we can read the text of the Bible, amen, and not actually come to know the heart of the one who wrote it, except that the heart of the one that wrote it is revealed to us through his Spirit. So we need the Word and the Holy Spirit working to bring revelation of him who is true. In Jude chapter 1, verse 3, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." Well, what faith is Jude talking about here? He's talking about the gospel, isn't he? In 1 Corinthians 15:1, Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." Now here he breaks it down to the simplicity of the gospel. Okay, in verse 3, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also what received." How? By revelation. "That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." So he encapsulates it into the simplicity of this message that has saved multitudes of people throughout the earth, throughout the generations, who simply put their faith in Christ, amen, and not in themselves, to save themselves. And Jesus himself said, if we try to save ourselves, we will what? We'll lose our lives. So God did not leave man simply to his own understanding to know him. And by our own human knowledge and wisdom, we cannot know him. And so, again, some people, they just rely upon their human intellect to understand biblical texts. And God certainly gives us a mind to think and to reason. So we don't set that aside. But our human reason alone is insufficient to come to a true saving knowledge of God. So there's a vast present day increase of knowledge, as you know, in every realm. Man, the internet is full of information. You can spend your entire life gleaning information and more information and only touch the surface of all the knowledge that's available out there. Would you agree? So what I think it's of utmost importance that we zero in on what we really need to zero in on. And that is, what is the point of life? Jesus is the point of life. All life flows from him, comes from him. Nothing is made without him. Amen. And all things consist because he spoke his word. Amen. And it was so. There's a tremendous emphasis on education. And there's nothing wrong with education. And yet with so much available knowledge, again, there are so many unstable, unsatisfied, and unsettled people. Paul said that some people, in 2 Timothy 3, verse 7, are always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And the expression always learning does not mean that they were continually learning more about Jesus and his word. Amen? But it meant that they were constantly being led away from the simplicity that was in Christ, and they ended up delving into various religions and cults that surrounded them. And as a result, they were unsettled and unable to come to the knowledge of the truth that could save them and bring them into God's peace. And so what people are really looking for is heaven. Amen. We're looking for God's peace. We need peace in our lives. So we search diligently to find the answer, the solution to how can I have peace? And some people try through meditation and other practices to somehow come into some peace. And that peace may be with themselves. But there's only peace in him who has made us, because he is the Prince of Peace, and he is our peace. And so we, having been justified and by the Lord Jesus Christ, can have peace with God the Father. Amen. So we cannot come into peace except through Jesus, who is peace. Amen. It's very simple, but sometimes the simplicity of the message gets convoluted and it gets confused by all the different types of doctrines and teachings that are available today. And often we can be led astray from the simplicity or the single-heartedness, the simple devotion to Christ, and be led astray by many different doctrines and teachings that do not bring us into a place of peace. Instead, it causes confusion, and we continue to wrestle about wanting to know what is truth. We all want to know what is true. Would you agree? We don't want to be deceived. We want to know what's authentic, what's really real. So Jesus wants people to come to him and find rest for their souls. That's the simplicity of this message, that we can have peace, amen, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation rests is only found in him, because he is really our Sabbath. He is the fulfillment of that. He is the Lord of the Sabbath, and therefore in him we have rest. Come on. You can rest your body on a certain given day, and there's nothing wrong with that. But what we need is rest in our spirit. And only Christ can give us peace. Only he can give us the Sabbath rest. That's why he said in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Quit your striving," he said. "I will give you rest. Come out from under the heavy yoke of the law and performance and trying to measure up." You see, Jesus measured up for us. "Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Oh, I love this. "For my yoke is" what? "It's easy, and my burden is light." That is the truth. I've been so hard on myself throughout my life. I've been a lot harder on myself than God has been hard on me. Come on. Amen. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. When you're abiding in him who is peace, then you have the gentle yoke of Christ. And you can learn, amen, to how to walk with him and have a relationship with him and be at peace in your soul, knowing that it is well for my soul because of what Jesus did for me and not what I did for me. God is trying to get us to take our eyes off of ourselves and to look to him alone for justification, for forgiveness, for strength, for peace. Come back to the simplicity that is in Christ, because religion is a hard taskmaster. But Jesus is rest for our souls. Pharaoh put a heavy yoke on the children of Israel, did he not? But Jesus replaces that with his gentle yoke. In other words, God wants us to settle down in him. Stop striving with your maker. Simply come to him humbly. Understand what he did for you, what Jesus did for you at the cross. Receive his mercy, his forgiveness. Amen. And sit at his feet. And let the Lord teach you. Hallelujah. As we say often, get out of your head and get into his heart. God wants us to settle down in him. Remember, the psalmist understood this. David had a relationship with the Lord. In Psalms 23:2, he says, he makes me to lie down in what? Green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Verse 3, he restores my soul. I love this. How many have found comfort in this psalm? When sometimes life becomes turbulent, amen, we need to get back to the main thing, amen, and our the main focus needs to be the Lord, because he is our peace. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now listen, unsettled people can never speak with certainty as to an accomplished work of redemption in their lives. In other words, they're always striving and wondering, am I right? Have I done enough? Is God pleased with me? Is God accepting me? And so because of that, they're unsettled. Are you hearing me? God wants us to rest in the assurance that he receives us on the merits of his work of redemption on the cross, and not on our human merits. We are saved for good works, but good works do not save. You must first be made right through the redemption that is in Christ, amen, and then you take on the gentle yoke of Christ, amen, and you do life together with him. Amen. And it's not something that you try to force or make happen, because then you are under the yoke of performance and you're going to be miserable there and unfulfilled there. But when you do life with Jesus and keep it simple, Christ in me, the hope of glory, then I have peace with God and with others. And then I can be a witness, because what people need is not me, but they need Christ. They need the fruit of God, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, all right, working through my life. I cannot save, but Jesus can, so I give you Jesus. I point you to him who alone can save. For there is salvation in none other. His righteousness is what we need. All right? And not our own. Otherwise, we can just boast about how righteous we think we are. Let me just ask you this. Once again, I ask this often, but what is it that you have that you did not receive? You knew the answer. All right, there's nothing that we have that we did not receive. So whoever we are, whatever we possess, whatever intelligence God gave us, whatever, you know, attributes, whatever talents, gifts, abilities, all came from him. So we want to be good stewards over what God invests in us. Amen. While we're here, we want to serve the Lord, right, and serve others with what he's given us. Be faithful over that. Amen. But we serve the Lord out of love and gratitude and not as a means of being made right with him. When your heart is right with God, he will be working in you both to will and to do. But not as a means to make peace with God. But because I'm at peace with God, now I can serve the Lord without guilt or shame. As some people will use fear to control you, to bring you back under their bondage, okay? Under their rule. So they can manipulate you and make you do what they want you to do. How many know that God gives us freedom to choose? All right? So we should never allow anybody to pressure us, okay, to do anything except maybe to encourage someone in the right direction and be an example to them by the way we live our lives. You see, the Lord says to us, choose this day. Choose who you will serve. The choice is yours. You can choose life or death. You can choose blessing or cursing. Now, Jesus said this, listen, in Matthew 18:3, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. You know, you can study all the scriptures, world religions, philosophies of the world. You can have more degrees than a thermometer and yet not know the Lord Jesus Christ and not know peace. And yet live an unsettled existence of never quite knowing if I'm right with God or not. Because the question again is, how good is good enough? And when do I come to a place where I'm good enough? Well, guess what? You will never come to a place where you're good enough. Jesus took care of that for us. He lived a perfect life, fulfilled all the requirements of the law. Amen. And he took that which was written against us, even that which would condemn us because all of us had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And it says he removed it, took it away and nailed it to his cross. And it is finished, he said. Hallelujah. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. And the life we have now is a life that is freely given through Jesus to us, and that is he gives us his spirit to come to dwell within us. Amen. And he takes the law and he writes it on the tablets of our heart. So we're not under the law of commandments in the Old Testament, but now we are living epistles. We are walking tablets, if you will, for Jesus. Amen. We live by the law of the spirit of life in Christ, which sets me free from the law of sin and death. You can't confuse the two. Either you're under law or you're under grace. And God wants us to come under his grace and to take upon us his yoke, which is gentle, which is light, so that we can have rest for our souls. And then out of rest, we serve the Lord with a willing heart, out of appreciation for what he's done. Worship is basically you and I loving God back. It's loving him back. I want to love the Lord back with the rest of my life. And he said, therefore, whoever humbles himself, verse 4, as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus prayed for those with childlike faith. In Matthew 11:25, he says, I thank you, Father. There, hear it. Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things. What things? The truth about the kingdom. From the wise and prudent. For those who are puffed up in their fleshly mind. And have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. You see, Unless we come to a place where we humble ourselves and admit to God that we don't have all the answers, that we're just not that smart. How many would agree that God is much smarter than we are? Amen? And therefore, we humble ourselves as a child will come to a father or to a teacher and say, "Teacher, what do you mean? What did you mean by that? I want to learn. I want to grow. In fact, I want to be like you when I grow up." Amen? How many had some teachers growing up? Maybe might have been a few that you said, "You know what? I like certain things about that teacher, and I'd like to be like them someday." Yeah. So that's important, isn't it? That we have somebody in our lives that we're willing to, you know, allow to mentor us. But the ultimate mentor is the Lord Himself, and He does work through people, doesn't He? And again, the things that we have been given, the gifts, the abilities, are not something that we gave to ourselves, but something that God gave to us. And with that is a stewardship, yes. But we have to understand that if there's any boasting in our understanding and in our education, amen, it must be in the Lord who allowed us to know what we know. And we can't take credit for it. And I believe that if we're faithful stewards over what the Lord entrusts to us, then He gives us much more. Amen. He'll give us more understanding. Like those who are inquiring of the Lord, and He says, "Lord, Father, I thank You that You've kept us from the wise and prudent and revealed this unto the babes." He was talking about those who knew they didn't have it all together. They were aware of their spiritual poverty. They know they need what Jesus has to offer. I need what Jesus has to offer. How about you? Those with childlike faith cry out to the only one who can rescue and save them. Those with childlike faith are the ones who receive God's mercy and grace. Those with childlike faith are those who enter the kingdom of heaven. He says, unless you are converted. Oh, there must be a change. Not something that we do for ourselves, but something that God will do in our hearts as we humble ourselves and come to Him as a child would say, "Father, I need Your help. I need Your mercy. I need Your forgiveness. And I need Your grace to carry on. I need You to show me and teach me and lead me in the way I should go." And if you humble yourself, He will show you. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, the message of the cross, we're talking about keeping it simple here, is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. As the scripture says, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise," listen, "and discard the intelligence of the intelligent." You see, the Pharisees thought they knew, and because they said, "We know," He said, "Therefore your sin remains. You're not in a position to receive the grace of God because you're too arrogant. Here I am, the one that created all things, is standing before them in the person of Jesus Christ. God became a man, Theos became a man. A man took upon Himself human flesh, appears to man, to the ones that were teaching about Him, and they didn't recognize Him because they were puffed up in their fleshly mind. And because of that, because of their pride, God would not give grace to them. Because God gives His grace to the humble, but He rejects or resists the proud. And as the scripture says, once again, verse 19, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligent of the intelligent." So where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. Since God in His wisdom saw to it that the world would never know Him through human wisdom. Oh, He has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven, and it is foolish to the Greeks or the non-Jews who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. Nothing new under the sun, right? But to those called by God to salvation, hear it, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. There it is. Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. You are complete in Him in whom dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Christ alone I place my trust. We need to keep it simple. The simple truth is Christ alone needs to be the center of our lives. He alone is salvation. We need only to trust Him to be saved and to find rest for our souls and grace for our daily lives. Listen to Paul's concern here for the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. I'll read it again. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And the word simplicity means single-heartedness. See, Paul feared that the church might be deceived and their minds corrupted from the simplicity of their pure devotion to Christ. Again, I want to just back up a little bit here and just remember that there is so much available information today, so much knowledge available today. Never in history have we been in a place, you know, where there's so much available to us through the internet, primarily, right? And so we need to be very careful that we're not carried away by all this information that can take you away from the simplicity which is in Christ, because the truth is God has made it very simple. Simple enough so that a child can understand, that a child can be saved. And that salvation has come to us. And His name is Jesus. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. God doesn't complicate things for us. And He speaks to us in ways we can understand. Otherwise, listen, only the intellectually gifted could be saved. I would definitely be out of that picture. But Paul wanted the Corinthians to be devoted to the Lord Jesus alone and not be led astray by anyone or anything else. So even the early church was dealing with all kinds of heresies and diversions away from the original faith that had been delivered. And that's what Jude was talking about. He says, I want you to get back to basics and remember, amen, it was this faith that was delivered to us, not by man, but by the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 11, 4, for if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, so you can receive a different Jesus or a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. And again, he was talking about how the serpent had deceived Eve by appealing to her mind or intellect. Again, human intellect is incapable of knowing God except that God would reveal himself to the human intellect. Amen? And he will reveal himself to those who humble themselves and admit that they don't know. Ever run into somebody who is a know-it-all? You can't teach them. You can't tell them anything. They already know. Or they're always one-upping you. But we need to remain childlike in our faith and our awe, our wonder, our exploration of Him, of discovery of Him. But if we keep it simply Jesus, I want to know the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the way, the truth, and the life, and the way to the Father. He is the intermediator, the one intermediator between God and men. Amen. And we have a high priest in the heavens who is ever there, amen, who lives forever. Amen. Who is there to represent us to the Father. If we will come to the Father through the Son, amen, then we can receive all that the Father has through the Son. Amen. And that's how God has arranged it. We have an intermediator, one way to the Father. Hallelujah. He didn't say, I am one of many ways in John 14, 7, is it? 7, 14. But He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except what? By me. Amen. So Paul, again, was reminding them, listen, you have to be careful that you're not led astray from the simplicity which is held out in the gospel, and it's in Christ, in whom is the fullness, and the only way to the Father is through Jesus. This is what false teachers do. They deceive the unsuspecting through the allurement of secret knowledge. Elite privileges, prestige, wealth, fame, and in some cases, sex. These are common denominators in cults. They talk about secret understanding, secret knowledge, secret societies, you know. You want to be part of the elite? And what does that do? That appeals to the pride of man, to the intellect of man. Oh, yeah, I want to be an insider, you know. We see that all throughout society, don't we? Even in government. People that want to be an insider. And they allure them through these promises of eliteness and, you know, of elitism, should I say, and these things that no one else can have access to except those who are part of the club. If you join our club, then you can have access to these secret things that only we possess. And so they allure people, they draw them in, and they work on their lusts, sometimes with sex. They work on their intellect, their right, and their pride. Oh, you will be an elder, you will be this, you will be that. But Jesus said the way up in the kingdom is to become the servant of all. He says, if you want to be great, serve. He demonstrated that, didn't he? When he washed his disciples' feet. I've given you an example. He meant that we need to serve one another. Hallelujah. There's only one superhero up in here, as we say, right? His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Paul was concerned because the Corinthians were receiving false Christs and counterfeit spirits that were being introduced into the church. And they were being tolerant of other views that were drawing them away from their simple devotion to Christ and the message of the cross. Remember Paul, in some places he said, I only came knowing one thing among you, that is Christ and what? Him crucified. He had to keep it simply on that message of the cross. Because any time you remove the cross, you have a counterfeit. Because there's only one way to salvation, and that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you take away the blood, you have a counterfeit. Is there going to be similarities? Are there going to be commonalities among the religions? Yes. But there's salvation only through the blood of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus was more than just a prophet or a good man. Jesus was the Son of God. Hallelujah. And he who denies the Son denies the Father also, John said. Where there's no fire of God, there's a lack of discernment. We need the illumination of the Holy Spirit in order to know what is true. We cannot learn God again simply by relying upon our human intellect to know God. We must have a relationship with the Holy Spirit who will reveal God to us, so we can know him. Amen. There is no other way except through him who is the truth. You can't rely simply on your human intellect. In Proverbs 3 and 5, that's what he's saying here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. What? Do not depend on your own understanding. The first thing he says is, listen, there needs to be a commitment, a full commitment, of yourself to the Lord without reserve. That's the first step. And the second is there must be a healthy distrust of yourself. Oh, yeah, this is where we, right? Well, if I thought it, it must be correct, right? Besides, it's my opinion that matters, right? So we have to come to a place where, listen, we don't trust our own human understanding. God gives us understanding. He gives us a mind to reason. Amen. But we need the illumination of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we can be influenced by other doctrines, other spirits, other Jesuses. Amen. That will corrupt our thinking and our minds and cause confusion and bring us into a place where we're no longer settled in the Lord and in the assurance of our salvation. And so we're living our lives constantly not knowing, is it well with my soul or not? I don't know. Maybe I'll just need to do more, that God will love me more and accept me more. And you live in this bondage to performance, and God says, stop it. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He wants you to enter into his rest. And then out of rest will come service. We need to acknowledge that we do not know what is best for ourselves, that we are not capable of living our lives correctly apart from the Lord. I did it my way. That was my life before, right? Yours too? How many wish you had known the Lord then? Back then. Oh, yeah. And I realize that this thinking conflicts, again, with our natural pride. But if we are willing to humble ourselves and fully trust the Lord, he promised to guide our steps. Jeremiah said it this way in Jeremiah 10:23. O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. The prophet Jeremiah knew that. He needed the Holy Spirit to guide him. Jesus said in Matthew 7:13, hear it, enter by the narrow gate. Oh, you're narrow-minded and intolerant and a bigot. Let me remind you that Jesus himself said, it is narrow, it is confined, it is difficult, the way that leads to life. And what? Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, there are few who find it. What are we talking about? The simplicity, the single-heartedness, amen, the simple devotion to Christ as he being the way. He's the way. He is that way. There is no other way. All, he said, that came before me are thieves and robbers. They are counterfeits. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to the Father. And he says, you need to be careful, because wide and broad is the way that which most people, he say, are going that way. It's the broad way of the intellect and human wisdom and reasoning and philosophy and all this confusion that comes by that. But he says, you need to come to me that you may have life, that you will find rest for your soul in me. Quit your striving. Just open up your heart and let him in. Lord, I don't know anything except what you would show me. I don't have anything except what you would give me. Lord, I know I'm nothing without you. I know that everything I have in my life, Lord, is because of you. I know everything, every revelation, everything you've taught me is not because of my own intellect, but is because of your mercy and because of the grace you've shown me, Lord. That you've entrusted these things to me that I might be a steward over your investment in me. Thank you for showing me what I can know. And what I can know is that which you would reveal to me by your Spirit. Lord, I acknowledge apart from you I can do nothing. Lord, I acknowledge that I am spiritually impoverished without you. Lord, I cannot know truth except that you reveal truth to me. And so, Lord, I'm asking that you would reveal truth to us. That you would reveal yourself, that we may know you as the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus himself is our rest. Jesus himself is our hope of glory. The Lord wants us to rest in the assurance. Listen, that he receives us on the merits of his work of redemption on the cross, and not our human merits. This is where the dividing line is. Religion teaches man that you must do these things to be right. The truth is, you cannot make yourself right. You can only come to Him who can make you right, who can transform you, who can give you a new heart, who will put His Spirit within you, and He will give you a new nature, new desires, new passions. And you can know the way, and you'll have the power to walk in the right way. But apart from Him, we can do nothing. Psalm 16:11 says, "You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of Your presence." How many got joy today? "And the pleasures of living with You forever." The pleasures. How many know that God is pleasurable? The Lord is pleasurable. Hallelujah. We don't need to be drinking the inferior stuff. Amen? Come to Him and dine. Come rest in His, at His feet. Let Him satisfy you. Let Him feed you. Let Him give you drink from the wells of salvation, from the rivers of His pleasure. For He is the fountain of living waters. Lord, we thank You for who You are, for Your mercy that You've shown us, for Your work of redemption on the cross on our behalf, because we could not save us. Lord, in mercy, God gave us You, and You were willing to lay down Your life for us. And we thank You for that. Thank You for salvation. Thank You for healing today. Thank You for their deliverance in Your name. Thank You, Lord, that You came to break every chain, to liberate every captive, to open blind eyes and deaf ears, to set at liberty those who are bound. Oh, Jesus, Lord, we come to You for rest today. Lord, place Your gentle yoke upon us, that we may sit at Your feet and learn of You and grow up into You, who is our life. For in You we live and move and have our being. You are the source of life, and we cannot be left behind. So we look to You. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Yes, in Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of hope and strength is what? Christ alone. Hallelujah. He is our life. In Him there is life. Hallelujah. To God be the glory for the great things that He has done. Thank You, Lord God, for Your goodness, Lord. Bless and keep every one of us, Lord. Keep us close to Your heart, Lord, resting at Your feet. Letting go, Lord, of the worries and the fears and the troubles of this life, Lord, knowing that You carry us, Lord God, through every situation, and You are faithful to be there till the end. For You said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And we thank You for that. For that we are grateful, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.